No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time for August 16th, 2017. I'm David Brown, and we're so grateful you're spending a bit of your Wednesday with us. As you probably learned in grade school, the founders took great pains to make sure that the power invested in the American chief executive would be constrained. And through the years, limitations on presidential power have chafed more than a few ambitious commanders-in-chief. The man considered the first truly modern president won that title in part because he refused to be constrained by his formal authority. He figured out how to use the media to turn the presidency into a platform for broadcasting his vision for the United States. Teddy Roosevelt even gave this power a name, and the name stuck. He called the office of the presidency a bully pulpit. By bully pulpit, this was probably not what TR had in mind.
Excuse me. What about the alt-left that came charging at the, as you say, the alt-right? Do they have any semblance of guilt? That was a horrible, horrible day. Wait a minute. I'm not finished, fake news. That was a horrible day. I will tell you something. I watched those very closely, much more closely than you people watched it. And you have... You had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You
had a group. The voice of President Trump yesterday afternoon staging one of the most memorable press conferences in U.S. history, a combative exchange about last weekend's violence in Charlottesville. It was an opportunity to reinforce his heavily scripted message from Monday, condemning neo-Nazis and white supremacists. But on Tuesday, he went off script, taking up the talking points of the self-described alt-right.
You take a look at some of the groups and you see, and you know it if you were honest reporters, which in many cases you're not, but many of those people were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So, this week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
As Glenn Thrush and Maggie Haberman of the New York Times note today, there's nothing especially new about Republican politicians making broad cultural appeals to America's white constituency. It's been that way since the 1960s, and before that, Democrats often used a very similar playbook. But politicians of the modern era have generally taken a hard line on overt racism and anti-Semitism. Nearly every modern president has had an opportunity to condemn neo-Nazism, for example, and has done so without the appearance of hesitation, setting a tone for the rest of the nation. We may never be free from our history, but denouncing racism is easy. So much so, in fact, that one wonders why President Trump seems to have such a hard time holding the line. And so, the president has spoken. Now, it's Texas's turn. Joining us is Sister Norma Pimentel. She is the Executive Director of Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. Sister Norma, welcome to Standard.
Thank you so much.
Also joining us on the line, Sheriff Troy Nails. He is Fort Bend County Sheriff. He recently held a Diversity and Living Together Forum in his community. Sheriff Nails, welcome to Standard.
Good morning.
Omar Rashid is a member of the Victoria Islamic Center. That was the Islamic Center that burned down earlier this year. A suspect has since been charged with arson. Mr. Rashid, welcome to Standard.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also joining us on the line, Vincent Harding, an African-American attorney and chair of the Travis County Democratic Party. Mr. Harding, welcome to the Standard.
Thank you for having me.
I want to throw out this question, and I invite any of you to jump in and offer your reflections on this. What, if anything, changed as a result of yesterday's news conference?
This is Vincent Harding here, and I'll go ahead and speak. To me, a lot changed yesterday. Candidate Donald Trump used dog whistles. President Trump used dog whistles, turned a blind eye to racism time and time again. But yesterday, he went a step further, and he said there were very fine people on both sides. That goes from being someone who turns a blind eye to being a cheerleader for white supremacy and neo-Nazis. I believe it's a sad day in American history. I believe, ultimately, there is no common ground here. Either you are against white supremacists and neo-Nazis, or you're wrong.
Omar Rashid speaking, if I may jump in. I think I agree with Mr. Hardin 100%. I think yesterday was also a lost opportunity for President Trump to show humility and embrace all Americans and call out racism and bigotry. And I think it was the wrong message to be confrontational yesterday. It only adds to the divide. And I agree with Mr. Hardin when he says basically there are no people on the right side when you are carrying the Nazi flag.
This is Sister Norma Pimentel, and I totally agree with Rashid. This was the last opportunity for a moment to bring us together and to denounce what is completely wrong and divides us.
Sheriff Nails, we haven't heard from you.
Well, I appreciate the comments from the panel, but I don't care. In my humble opinion, it really doesn't matter what President Trump says. I think the left has and will continue to be critical of everything Donald Trump says from here forward all the way for the next, more than 3 years left remaining on his term. I think that, this fake news, it is out there. I don't think Donald Trump, our president, is a racist. I think there are times that, as a conservative Republican myself, I think there are times we would like to see President Trump kind of cut back, slow down a little bit on his Twitter feeds and all this stuff. But overall, I think I do not agree that Donald Trump is a racist.
This is Omar Rashid speaking again, but I don't think any one of us spoke about accusing President Trump of being a racist. I think the comments he made, he basically condones the neo-Nazis and people cheering, basically saluting, using the Hitler, the Adolf Hitler salute. This is not America that our soldiers fought for to defeat Nazism. We may have United States of America, but we don't have United Americans yet.
Well, I don't believe anybody won with what took place in Charlestonville. I think it was a sad day for America. But that's the climate that we have in this country. I think you're seeing more racism in this country. And this has been going on for not the past 9 months. This has been this way for the past several years. And I think you're seeing more and more racism. I think you're seeing people starting to stand up more, exercising their First Amendment right. Whether we agree with it or not isn't the point. People have a right to assemble and hold demonstrations, and it's been happening for years, even with some of those demonstrations up in Dallas taking peace officers' lives. The point is that this is a very, very emotional time in this country when it deals with race, when it deals with immigration issues and everything else. And I just think that we need to come together as a country, try to have a better understanding of each other's cultures. For the example, here in Fort Bend County, we are considered, according to the Rice University's Kinder Institute, the most diverse county in the entire country. And I think what we've done as a community that represents 750,000 people in Fort Bend County, we've done a great job bringing people together, understanding each other's cultures. And I think the rest of this country, the entire country, could learn a lot by coming down here and visiting Fort Bend County and seeing how we have come together as a community.
I'm an immigrant. I'm a Muslim American. We have never, in Victoria, Texas, I've been in Victoria 24 years. I have never felt threatened or discriminated against until President Trump, or candidate Trump at the time, began to just throw rhetoric against Muslims and paint us as basically we are evils. So that now what the solution is the solution also begins with President Trump. He needs to bring the country together. He needs to condemn the acts of racism, bigotry, discrimination based on religion, race, color of his skin, ethnicity, you name it. But that has to begin right there at the White House. And then we have to, within our own community, we have to provide the dialogue.
Vincent Harding here. I've held several community conversations on the issues of race and policing. Yes, these topics are passionate, so there's got maybe some yelling or some screaming or some cursing. But I believe it is better to yell and to scream and to curse as opposed to get into fights. And I believe when you have that honest dialogue and you have corresponding action, whether it be the police focusing on community policing or de-escalation or increasing after-school programs, these are the types of things that will move this country forward.
Yes, this is Sister Norma Pimentel, and I also agree that hosting gatherings where we bring us together from different faith denominations, and that's what we're doing here in the River and the Valley, our bishop, with our rabbi, with our all different religions, coming together, inviting the community. This type of events begins to take away that sense of fear and that sense of, I don't know you, and so it helps to bring us together as one community.
From the Rio Grande Valley, Sister Norma Pimentel. From Austin, Attorney Vincent Harding. Also Fort Bend Sheriff Troy Nails and Omar Rashid of the Victoria Islamic Center. This is just the start of the conversation. Wells Dunbar, our social media editor.